Welcome to the Promo News Podcast, talking music videos with me, Rob Ulitsky, and David Knight. And today, we're talking to Rick Joachim, a director of photography whose credits include numerous commercials, short films, documentaries, and music videos. Rick hails from Johannesburg, and he established himself as a respected cinematographer in South Africa, mainly working on videos and commercials, before he made the decision to move to London. He is now in the process of building his reputation in his adopted home, pretty much from scratch, establishing relationships with new directors and working as DOP on a number of increasingly high-profile music videos, including one recently for one of the UK's top pop acts, Clean Bandit. Firstly, we asked Rick how he got his start working behind the camera.
I actually used to play in bands, so weirdly enough, music is what actually led me into cinematography. I used to shoot music videos for my own bands I played and then my friends' bands. And that kind of actually led me to like realize, whoa, this is actually a possible career. I never actually thought it was a possible career for me. Music is actually what brought me into cinematography, and it's really kind of runs in parallels for me.
Do you remember kind of like the very first music videos when you did them for your band? do you remember any kind of like highlights from that era?
Yeah, I remember shooting some really bad green screen ones as well. I remember like trying to comp my band onto like a pirate ship. We used to do some really weird stuff for rock bands and for friends' bands. I think maybe from about 2014 or 2015, I started taking it really seriously, where I started actually saying I'm a cinematographer. I think because once you start calling yourself a DOP, then people will see you as that, because you need to first call yourself something before other people trust you. And no one's just going to do that, if that makes sense. I've definitely done some silly things. I've definitely done some weird stuff on music videos that I maybe shouldn't mention.
Was this band successful? I mean, were they quite a successful outfit in South Africa?
I played for a few bands. I played for some rock bands, some metal bands. I played for a folk band that got signed to Sony at one stage. But David, I used to like, I kind of had to make a decision and draw a line in the sand where if I was going to take cinematography further or take music further. And sadly in South Africa, music is a bit trickier, especially rock music sometimes can be a bit trickier. And cinematography was just presenting so many opportunities to me. I started traveling the world. I started seeing countries I'd never seen. I didn't travel much as a kid. I come from like a working class family, so I never really got to travel overseas. And then in my 20s, cinematography started opening doors for me, and I just ran with it. You just go with it, and you just say yes to what you can. And I ended up shooting in South America or in Asia, started shooting in different countries, and I was just saying yes to stuff. And that was sometimes corporate work or social media stuff, but I was just saying yes to stuff, and it was just opening doors for me.
Yeah. So music videos played a big part in your start. And then you moved on to doing a variety of other things, as you said, you know, corporate stuff, commercials.
Yeah, commercials. I mostly do commercials now. I do a lot of narrative as well when I can as well. I find myself falling between those. I love music videos and I love what they offer. The vehicle that music promos and videos offer is so fun. I think you can test out new kits. You can work with new directors. You can push the envelope a bit. But I do a lot of commercials, and I do. I don't do as much documentary stuff as I used to, but I definitely love narrative. Narrative also speaks to my soul and informs me differently. So
actually, going back to kind of like South Africa, could you just tell us about music videos in South Africa? Like, is there a community or like a scene like there is in London?
There's definitely a scene. I think the budgets aren't the best sometimes in South Africa. So there's definitely a scene or a community. And I've gotten to work with some of my favorite South African artists. I've gotten to work with like Nasty C or Bonga Zuma Bundler or Boity or Elaine. These are artists who are doing really well in South Africa, and they're all actually getting signed internationally and breaking. And I've worked with some of my favorite directors who are also South African directors. So there's definitely a scene, there's definitely a community there. Just sometimes I think it's anywhere in the world. Music videos can sometimes, they don't have the biggest of budgets. You have to sometimes make stuff work. But that's kind of the challenge I enjoy, is making things work. And I think it's a skill sometimes with cinematography. You can stretch that budget and make it look like more on screen. People appreciate that.
So where would music video makers be in South Africa? Are they in Johannesburg or Cape Town or all over?
I would say between Johannesburg. I was born in Johannesburg, but I shot in Cape Town a lot and was doing a lot of commercials and music videos in Cape Town. And Cape Town has some amazing creatives, but so does Johannesburg as well. So between the two, I'd probably be bouncing between there. Sometimes Durban, but I think mostly Joburg and Cape Town. I think those two were the main go-tos.
And it must have been like a terrific place to learn your craft in terms of like just the locations and, of course, like the the light, I guess.
That's a good question, a good observation. The way the schools meet all the time in the UK, I definitely get taught lessons because the sun is quite a constant in Africa, in South Africa. So you kind of bank on the sun being there. Whereas when I'm shooting in the UK, you can't really bank on the weather. You'll see four seasons in one day.
Well, I was going to ask you about the challenges of the UK. And of course, that's it, isn't it?
It's one of them.
But yeah, some of the directors you work, one director who stands out for me that you've worked with, Kyle Lewis. And as you said, you worked with him on the Nasty Sea.
Yeah.
A really sort of like classic hip hop, you know, studio promo, really inventive. And then there's this other video that you made with him, Toya Delazzi, Fanani, which is... You actually probably did it a few years ago, but it's kind of like the slow burner of videos because I noticed that it sort of keeps getting accolades and awards, even though you made it like 3 years ago. It's just now been selected for like the Berlin Music Video Festival, isn't it?
It
is an amazing video.
Thank you for that. That was a nice surprise, by the way. And you're so right, David. Just I guess it's the little music video that could, which is amazing because we really did make that on very little money. And Panavision sponsored us lenses and camera because I have quite a good relationship with Panavision in South Africa and I've been able to bring that across to the UK. But back to Kyle. Kyle is an amazing director. I think that might have been our first project together. We've done about two or three music videos together. We've also done commercials together. So that also kind of how our relationship just cross-pollinates. And Kyle's an amazingly talented director and so visual and one of the nicest human beings in the world. And I do look forward to seeing him soon. I'm hoping he comes across the side as well and I get to see him a bit more here as well.
That video, tell us a bit about it because it's got the most incredible styling in it. Tell us about it and where you shot it.
Yeah, so we shot that in and around Soweto, I believe. I think it was around Soweto. It was in Johannesburg, definitely. And it was just Kyle has this amazing eye for stuff and he really loves art direction. He loves production. Like he loves crafting and he made a lot of those masks. So a lot of stuff you see is actually Kyle created a lot of those masks.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. And we repurposed a whole bunch of stuff. And there's that one outfit where you got the BMW car and it's made out of doilies or kind of like woolen items. And he's covered a whole car in that. And then we worked with Tom as well. Tom was our production designer and art director on that. And Tom also did amazing stuff as well. So between Kyle and Tom, there's just some beautiful stuff there. So when you've got beautiful stuff in front of the camera, it just makes my life so much easier. And I just get to just play with the lighting really and play with composition.
It's just because I think a lot of people that listen into this podcast in particular are going to be interested in like some more specific, perhaps, details. Do you remember what you shot it on and kind of what like lighting setups you had to use?
Yeah, definitely, Rob. So that was Alexa Mini with Panavision Primo Anamorphics. They're quite old anamorphics. They're pretty heavy as well. They weigh like 6 or 7 kilograms per lens. And we shot handheld. And then I actually use a lot of natural light. I kind of made sure to use mirror boards and I was just bouncing a lot of light where I could. And I'm a big fan of using natural light when I can. So whatever's available, I'll try to repurpose it and reshape it. Kyle's also not scared of going bold. And you can see it in his style and his choices. He loves going bold. So me and him love anamorphic as well. We have a shared love for anamorphic. So the more flares we could, the better. We're flaring the lens with mirrors and little cubes. And I was holding prisms in front of the lens sometimes. And I love that about Kyle. He allows me to push myself and kind of explore as well. I get to do something a little bit different as a cinematographer, a little bit further than I normally would go.
When did you move to the UK and what prompted the move?
So my partner and myself moved here the beginning of 2021, the height of COVID and also Brexit. We made it here 2 days before Brexit because I have an EU passport and I have a South African passport. So I have dual citizenship and we made it here literally by 2 days. That was quite traumatizing for lack of a better word, but we made it. I think the biggest reason for me was just the amount of like opportunities and what's possible here in the UK. There's just so much going on and I think there's so much opportunity here for cinematographers and for filmmakers. And that's really what's drawn me here is the ceiling is so much higher. Whereas in South Africa, there is a glass ceiling, I feel, and I miss it. And it is my home and I always travel back there as well. But the UK is now my new home and I love being here as well. So there's lots of opportunities here.
And what have been the challenges? And has there been a culture shock? Presumably there has been. Not just the weather. Or is it just mainly the weather?
I think definitely the weather has definitely been the biggest one, just in terms of like working and stuff and being on set and knowing that you'll have the sun coming through a window now, but then you bank on that. And by the time you look into the room, the sun's gone, or you kind of lose that beautiful backlight. So there's silly things like that that throw me sometimes. And I need to always remind myself that when you go on a recce, it doesn't really matter. The sun's going to move and probably not even show up on the day. Culture shock's not so much. I've always been a big fan of British humor. And I have some British friends as well. So they've, one of my best friends is from Bristol. So I've always had British friends or influences in my life. It's weird not having a car though. That's something that is still my partner and myself are getting used to, is we don't have a car yet. And I always think about buying one, but I'm actually really enjoying just getting around and having one less stress, especially if you live in London. I don't know if you actually need to.
Yeah, don't do it. I drive into London and it's a nightmare.
I drive in London and it costs me a fortune every time I drive.
You see, these are things. I used to own a car in South Africa. I had a car and I had a van. I used to put kids in the van as well. And it was a nightmare having two vehicles. Now I have zero and I kind of feel somewhat better. It feels like a bit of a relief. But then, like, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything culturally. Maybe I think something I do miss is my people or my network, but that's being built up again. I'm slowly building that up. But I do miss my tribe, for a lack of a better word. But that just takes time. And I'm slowly developing that again. I'm learning. I'm like getting to meet new, like, first ACs and new gaffers and new kind of grips and building friendships with them, because these people do become your friends and you end up seeing them more than you see your partners, or you see your, like, family sometimes, and you have to enjoy being around them. So I'm building that up slowly after about a year now in the UK.
Do you feel a bit like starting again?
Definitely.
That's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a brave move. Even though you're doing it for the reasons, career reasons, and I'm sure that'll work out. It's just,
Thank you for that. It's definitely bold, but I guess, like, Dave, if you don't ever try, I don't want to ever, like, regret not moving, because I think I'm very much like, I love what I do. Like, cinematography is really, I know it sounds cliche, people say this, but it really is, for me, it's all encompassing. It's a passion. Mm. It's a career. It's a hobby. I read about it all the time. I listen to podcasts. I watch videos on this stuff. I just really love what I do. And I'm really grateful to have found cinematography. As silly as that sounds, I know that sounds like a wanky answer, but I really do mean it from the bottom of my heart. It's really special. It's something that just consumes me. So, yeah.
And I forgot to mention, actually, because you have the accolade of the South African Cinematography
Society.
South African Society of Cinematographers.
Yeah, that's it. So you got that for your work across your commercials and narrative work over a few years, obviously.
Yeah, more so through my narrative. So normally you have to have had features and short films under your belt, and then sometimes commercials as well. But it is changing now. They are kind of opening it up and looking into other kind of, like, they'll look into music promos, they'll look into everything else now as well, because the world is changing. But that was through narrative, and it's been really cool to kind of, it's the same as here. I dream of being BSC one day, the British Society of Cinematographers. And it's so cool to meet your heroes sometimes and chat to them, and kind of, you get to meet older versions of yourself and you get to ask them questions. I actually did that this weekend at the BSC Expo.
But, really?
Yeah, I got to meet Angus Hudson. He's BSC, amazing cinematographer. And I just picked his brain, and he got to give me some some forewarning or guidance into the future, and just about the UK as well, just saying, just be aware of this and be aware of these things and keep your head on straight.
Excellent.
You're listening to the Promo News Podcast, talking music videos in association with Loop Talent. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite platform to hear more in the series.
So how did it start though? You worked on a low budget video for Ollie.
That was with a director friend I know, Honey Suzanne. She used to be based in the UK. I think she's moved back to Finland now. We literally had no money for that music video, but we called in a few favors. I kind of begged and borrowed, and it came out really beautifully. I'm really proud of what we had. And she's an amazing artist. Ollie is so talented, and I'm really proud of that music video. That was one of the first I actually did in the UK when I first moved. So
yeah, I think it's the first one we featured on Promo News.
I was so grateful. Thank you for that. That was so cool to see. I've been following Promo News for years, and then finally I saw something of mine, and I was
brilliant.
It's a good feeling, yeah.
That's always nice to hear.
That video is quite, obviously, it's a lot of projection, isn't it? It's quite soft pastel colours and stuff. And how was there any challenges in that? Obviously, when you worked with Kyle back in South Africa, it was very bold and very kind of like very like hyper colourful. Is it like, have you done more pastel kind of stuff before? Was it a bit of a challenge?
Oh, that's such a lovely question, Rob. I actually find myself quite a chameleon. I find I can, because again, I know we talk about music videos, but commercials as well teach you to be like quite a chameleon. You learn to adapt to different directors. I guess music videos do as well. So I'm quite adaptable. I love being able to kind of zone in on a director's style and start working with them and get into their mind's eye. And with Carl, Carl loves being bold and big, and I love that about him. Whereas Heine, for that one, the Oli one, she wanted to be more muted, more desaturated, go for those pastels. And it's a bit more, I would say, it's just different directors' voices coming through, and your job as a cinematographer is to make sure their voice comes through, and my voice also comes through. But I have multiple parts to my personality that I want to get through as well, and I think my voice is still there, just sometimes it's a little bit more hidden, and then sometimes it's a bit more apparent.
Explore.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Was the KSI video
that was next
video right after that?
Yeah, yeah, that was. I wouldn't say right after. It was actually probably the second video I shot here when I moved to the UK. I got a call from Troy Roscoe, and that was also amazing. Troy's work is amazing, and I only got to shoot the British stuff, so I only shot the KSI scenes. I didn't shoot the Little Wayne scenes, but KSI was cool to work with, and I think maybe an hour with him, an hour and a half with him. It was amazing. I kind of had to be on my toes for that one. Yeah.
That one looks like it has a bit of a budget though.
The KSI. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
probably lighting in that one.
Yeah. That was definitely more lighting. I wasn't just relying on a projector to kind of do all the work for me. So Dave well spotted. That one I got to come in for a recce. We pre-lit it. We kind of planned our path. We knew we had him for limited time, so I kind of walked it through with the Steadicam operator. We had someone stand in. I planned how we were going to do the moves. Really, really organic, but also really, really fun. I love being prepared. I love planning, so I'm a bit of a nerd that way. So,
I suppose actually that's a good point to pick up on as well. Is what does that part of the process usually look like for you? So, how early will you kind of come on board? How much kind of time do you ideally like?
I'll definitely at least get to see, at least try recce at least a week before or a few days before, so I can see any curveballs or things that might just trip us up. Mm-hmm. And then I'll kind of try to do some lighting diagrams. I do a bit of schematics if I can, if there's time, if I'm not too busy on other projects. And then I'll just try to get into the director's mind. Another thing I love doing is using my phone as a viewfinder. I use that a lot because I find most people are visual creatures like myself. So I'll take some frames on the day or on the day of the recce. And I'll show my director, this is what a 32 mil looks this way. This is what a 40 mil would look like this way. Is this the world you want to play in? And then he or she will say yes or no. And I kind of start like mining their mind, and you start getting into their mind, like their mind's eye. And then I kind of just start building on that. And then you just keep going. You keep running with it. And then we'll share references. I'm a big fan of references in the initial stages. And then we try and move away from it after a while. Because then sometimes people fall in love with references too much. And then
So get inspired, but then kind of put them aside.
Exactly.
So you've done a full rock performance video with the up and coming Nova Twins with Jack Baraclough. Again, you know, quite different. It's got so much energy, that video. A great color scheme. They're great as well.
Yeah, I love them. They were so amazing, and they made all their own outfits, which people don't talk about. They make all those outfits. Yeah, in the music video, those were all outfits they created, and for stage, they create their own outfits. And it was just cool to finally shoot a rock video, which touched my heart again. I was just like, yes, finally.
That's it, I guess, with your kind of music past.
don't get me wrong. I love hip hop stuff. I love dance stuff. I love folk. I listen to everything, but rock always have a special place in my soul.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like they came from such kind of like left of field as well. Like I'd never heard of them before seeing the video. And then I kind of saw the video, I was like, wow. And then kind of went back and like retraced.
That's what kind of happened to me as well, Rob. Like I heard them and I was like, this is amazing. I do not know about this band. And now I follow them and obviously they're doing so well. And you just see them going from strength to strength. They really are doing. I think they're on a US tour currently and they've just finished up a European or a UK tour and they're just doing so, so well. And I think they really are the next big thing, in my opinion. They're doing really, really well.
Which brings us on to Clean Bandit, obviously not a rock band. This one is an interesting video, Rick. I mean, I was thinking it must have been a bit of a challenge because you've got like this contrast of a story, which is quite gritty, although it has this sort of fantastical element, and then completely a certain aesthetic in the VFX. It's Avatar, you know, was that a reference?
I think one of our biggest references was actually the John Lewis, the latest John Lewis commercial. And then there's a lot of sci-fi stuff. So that you are right there. Like, Dave, there's some Avatar references. And what I loved about, the Clean Bandit job was a dream come true for me because I love science fiction. I love VFX. I love doing cool stuff. The wire work was amazing to work with as well. The rigging team we had and the VFX, the supervisors were amazing. They're so talented. But I have a VFX background. I used to animate and I used to do like a lot of post-production when I was younger, when I was trying to cut my teeth. Yeah. So if you've had a try, ever try green screen bad footage, you learn your lesson very quickly how how not to shoot it. So I learned my lesson with that. So this was a dream job because there's a lot of narrative elements running through there. Even though some of them are comedic, there's some narrative running through there. But there's also a lot of VFX, and shooting for Chroma, like Chroma is not the, not, I mean, technology has become better, but there's still things you need to do. You need to backlight characters to push them off the green. You need to have a hair light. You need to crank your shutter speed. There's a lot of things that you learn as a cinematographer the hard way, I find, and I've learned those lessons now. So they make those jobs a bit of a breeze now. But it was cool to work with Harry and Gino, who were the VFX supervisors, and I got to work closely with them where we made schematics or animatics, and they actually kind of comped a lot of stuff, or they planned a lot of stuff. They actually did a bit of an animation and they said, Rick, this is how we think he's going to fall off the building, or this is how we think the two of them touch in a bubble. And then what is cool about that is I could bring ideas and go, I would love for real practical lighting to read on them while they're in this energy sphere or while they're flying through the sky and stuff. So that stuff was just fun. Many challenges. I think time was a challenge for that one. You never have enough time, no matter, like, we ended up shooting 2.5 days on that one. It was the weekend where there was that, I think it was Storm Eunice. I think we were at Black Island on the Saturday, shooting in green screen the whole day. And that was fine, but we could hear the roof rattling above us. We could literally hear the roof. And we were trying to load kits into there. The door almost swung open and almost broke someone's arm. It was quite dangerous, but no one got hurt, luckily.
Thank God.
But then we had to postpone our exterior shoots because there was no way we were going to shoot with a Steadicam in a forest. So that Steadicam would just be blowing and fishtailing all over the place. So we did a pickup day like a few days later in the forest, and we got everything we needed. It was really, really, really fun. But you never have time. I think that's the biggest challenge on those jobs, is you just never have enough time. You've always got, as a DOP, you've always got that first AD saying, guys, we have to move on. We have to move on. Have to move on. But that's just the nature of it. But again, technically, that job was fun. I loved it. I really loved it.
And again, I mean, you're working with new directors, and Jack from Clean Bandit is obviously, he's directed or co-directed many of their videos. And Eric's
been doing music videos for quite a while now. I got to meet Eric. We did a short film before this. I did a passion project with Eric, and it went really, really well. The project hasn't come out yet, but Eric kind of approached me to ask me if I wanted to shoot a short film, and we did something really beautiful, and it has a really powerful message again about, like, just dealing with, like, especially men not accepting or talking about depression. So it's really powerful film, and that's coming up. But from that, we really enjoyed the process. I enjoyed him so much. We get along really well. And then Eric asked me if I wanted to shoot a Clean Bandit music video like a few weeks later. And I jumped at it. I said, yes, of course, I'd love to. And then it was nice to play with toys. I got to have all the toys on that one as well. I had at a gerb, we had dollies. We had did a lot of handheld, did some Steadicam. I mixed anamorphic and spherical, which was amazing to do, something I've always wanted to do. So we got to shoot all the studio stuff. We shot 6K resolution on the Sony Venice, and we shot a full frame sensor. And then for the narrative stuff, I shot anamorphic and crop sensor mode on the Venice. And then we kind of made them kind of match in post. And I thought that was really fun because I got to play to the strengths of the narrative, but also the strengths of VFX. I try always be a team player. I always just try to think of everyone, including, I have to think, I've learned that lesson. You have to play well with others. It's not just always the cinematographer's show, and I think that's what's helping me a lot is treating it as a team. You have to, you're part of a bigger project.
100%. Yeah, I mean, well done though. I think it's totally successful in that, bringing those different styles together.
Thank you for that. It actually just got nominated for another Berlin. It also got nominated today for Berlin Music Video Awards as well. So I have two projects in competition. It got nominated for Best Concept. So that was, I just woke up this morning to that message.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Maybe some UK MVA
involvement
later in the year.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I think I was just trying to still kind of get my feet like kind of on the ground and stuff and meet more people and meet my people. I'd love to. I mean, that's the dream.
So tell us what else you've been doing.
Music video stuff. I just worked with Casey Locke, who I know you had on the podcast recently. I really enjoyed his episode, by the way. It was really, and he's, I'm such a fan of his work.
I mean, Casey's a phenomenon, isn't he? I mean, he's doing incredible stuff, and his dedication to his craft is amazing, isn't it?
I agree. And his sense of community, what I see him doing, it's amazing. He's kind of uplifting people around him as well, and he holds a team together, and he also leads by example. It's so impressive to see a director do that. It speaks to my heart and my soul. It makes me work harder when I see Casey pushing, and you see him pushing the team, and he cares. That's what I think means so much to me.
You seem to be working on quite a lot of narrative stuff as well.
Yeah, I've been doing lots of short films. I did my first TV pilot in the UK as well. I shot a series for about 10 or 12 days. That was really fun. Then some commercials. And then what else? It's been really busy. I'm sorry. I think we're all just so busy right now, but I've been really grateful to be busy. This month has been a bit of a blur, but I'm grateful to be working a lot. So,
yeah. And is there anything in particular that you'd be kind of looking forward to? Is there anything that you'd really like to try, perhaps when things have die down a little bit on this front? Is there anything that you're really looking to sink your teeth into?
I just want to do, I love music promos. I love music videos, like I said, as a vehicle or a device. I'd love to meet more new directors. I want to work with more people who I really enjoy and I click with, and I feel that I can bring something to. So I'd love to do that. So Robbie, I think I'm super open-minded. I want to meet more people. I want to connect with, I need to reconnect with more people who kind of align with what I want to do and what they want to do as well. So, yeah.
And what about the, like the short film, the narrative work? Has any of that come out yet? I mean, is there anything you should really look out for?
In the UK or kind of in, I've got some stuff that's come out in South Africa. We had two short films that did really well. The one is sci-fi. It did really, really well at a film festival in Cape Town. Another one won Best Film and got nominated for Best Cinematography. I got nominated for Best Cinematography against myself, weirdly enough, and I still didn't win. So I guess sometimes awards mean nothing. So I had a 50% chance there and I still didn't win. But I've got narrative coming up, which I always love. And I don't know, I know this is music video and we always talk about that, but all of it is so, it all informs itself and informs each other and they all kind of in different ways. But yeah, I don't know. I love music videos or promos as a device or as a vehicle. It's just so special what you can do. And music, I realize, is like such a big part of who I am. So the days I don't listen to music, I notice I feel down. So music is a big part of who I am, and I need it in some ways. So,
what are the films that that you were nominated for? People in those. Yeah.
So the both Afrikaans films. So in South Africa, like one of our, we have like 11 languages, but one of our languages is Afrikaans, and the one is called Mabuskamera. Its translation is My Protector. It's a science fiction piece with my director Diana Emil Smith, who I work with in Cape Town. And then the other film is called Lemtis and Lierhead, which won Best Film at the whole film festival. And that was by Jordi Sank. And I'm really proud of them. They're on my website, so you can double check the trailers and stuff there. And I've got some other stuff up on my website as well. thank you.
Rick, look, thanks very much for coming on the podcast today. It's been brilliant.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really, really enjoyed this. And it's an honor to be on here. So thank you both.
This has been the Promo News Podcast, talking music videos with David Knight and Robbie Litsky of Promo News, in association with Loop Talent. I thanks again to Rick and to Lucy Price at Loop Talent for her help in the production of this episode. You can find links to the videos discussed in this podcast and more work by Rick Joachim in the description of this podcast and at promonews.tv, the home for the latest in music video creativity and production news. And subscribe to the Promo News Podcast to hear more of our conversations with leading creatives in the music video industry. Bye for now.